Morning.
Morning.
I'm not going to say a word about Elizabeth. I think I've had enough. when I arrived in Budapest for the Lutheran, for the seventh assembly of the Lutheran World Federation, I heard that was a given passport on condition that the general secretary of that body should tone down my sharp remarks against South Africa. And I realized that I have to watch my steps by toning down my own remarks. After that, I asked some people whether I succeeded, but they said, well, you didn't. Well, at that moment, after hearing what the condition was, knowing also that they are serious with that, what they are saying, I couldn't otherwise as to think of the words or prayer of Dietrich Bonhoeffer a few weeks before he was hanged. Was it a few weeks or a few days or even a few hours? We don't know. But it came from prison. And also, after hearing many of you voicing their concern about me, the fear of what might happen when I return, I received the question from you, do you know what will happen when you return home? And I realized that you are so concerned, I couldn't otherwise again as to think of this prayer. And I would like to pray this prayer or to repeat this prayer of Dietrich Bonhoeffer together with you here at my last presentation. Let us pray. By gracious powers, so wonderfully sheltered and confidently waiting, come what may, we know that God is with us night and morning, and never fails to greet us each new day. Yet is this heart of mine by its old foe tormented, still evil days bring burdens hard to bear. Oh, give our frightened souls the sure salvation for which, O Lord, you taught us to prepare. And when the cup you give is filled to brimming with bitter suffering, Lord, to understand, we take it thankfully and without trembling. Out of so good and beloved a hand. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ, in the eyes of this world, is a sign of defeat, hopelessness, and scandal. The world can't accept that the Son of God, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, could die helplessly on that pole of shame. Because the world knows from its own leaders that they usually don't give, but they take. And that's why the world can't understand that the Son of the Almighty God, instead of taking as the leaders of this world are doing, was giving. And not giving his wealth, his material wealth, but that he was giving his own life. And that's why the world couldn't understand and accept that he was and could die on the cross, and that the death of the cross could mean anything significant to the world. I remember one consultation which we had at the Lutheran Theological Seminary, Mpumulo in Natal, South Africa. It was a consultation between Christians and Muslims, and the person who was representing the Muslim delegation said, well, we believe that he was a prophet, a great prophet, but we don't believe that he died on the cross, because a prophet can't die such a shameful death. That reveals what the people of the world are thinking of victory and power. God's victory is not being revealed in glory of this world with crowns and gold and diamonds, but his glory was and is being revealed by going down deep, lower than the lowest. The world couldn't accept that he was dying such a shameful death. And if he was dying such a shameful death, his death couldn't mean anything significant to this world. They expected him to live in a well-defended palace with the most modern weapons. They expected him to have a budget of billions and billions of dollars, purchasing the most dangerous weapons to defend himself. But he was completely different from the leaders, from the kings of this world. And to make things more complicated for us, he's crying on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was that an acknowledgement of defeat and despair? No. No, in the ears of those who believe in him, it was a triumphant shout of a victorious hero. It was a triumphant shout, voice of a victorious hero. Thanks be to God that he didn't go halfway. He didn't turn from Pontius Pilate's palace, but he went further on. He took the Via Dolorosa and carried the cross. He didn't turn away from Gethsemane or from the high priests, but he went further on. And thanks be to God that he forsake me so that he forsake him and that he went into hell so that he can take us out of that hell. Thanks be to God that he forsake his own son so that he can accept us. The Church of Christ is an instrument of God sent into this world to bring the message of hope to the nations, to bring the message of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And this kingdom has got a twofold characteristics. That's a kingdom at hand, but at the same time, the kingdom coming. The kingdom of which we are saying today salvation has come. We have seen it. But the kingdom coming. He has sent his church in the wilderness of the growing and growing fear for a nuclear war. In the wilderness of a divided humanity, where people would, even Christians, if not the most, mostly Christian one should say, where they would talk easily of we in the free world and those behind the Iron Curtain, meaning that we are much more better off than those behind. The divided humanity, where people will be compartmented in blacks, colors, and whites. He is sending his church to bring the message of hope in a wilderness of economic injustice and exploitation. That's where he is sending his church into, to bring the message of the cross. The hope coming from the cross can be compared like a morning twilight announcing the dawning or the rising of the sun. That the cross is for us not a sign of defeat and scandal and hopelessness, but it is a source of our hope. That's from where we are drinking daily. That's why we can say we are slaves of hope, drinking out of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the light of hope which is shining from that cross is announcing the dawning of a new day, a new world in which all tears will be wiped, and where people will live, will learn to live together in harmony. Yesterday I said that, or was it the day before yesterday? I'm not so sure. I've been talking so much. I said that in my language there was no and there is no difference between, or we have got the same word for peace and meeting. And that's the same with hope. We haven't got two different words for hope and wait. That's precisely the same word. When I am saying to you in English, I am returning back to Namibia and I hope to meet you there one day. In my language, I would say, I am returning to Namibia and I wait to see you there one day. Or when I say in English, I hope to meet you again. In my language, I would say, I wait to see you again. And when I am talking of wait, then you see it, the waiting. The people standing and waiting. The bridegroom, as Paul would say, or the Lord himself would say, standing and waiting with songs and dances. This we have been sent out into this world to carry out that waiting to the world. To carry out that hope to the world. That's a very dangerous business of taking out that waiting to the world. Because it is not a passive waiting. It is not a passive waiting. Our hope is not passive. It's not sitting under a tree and not doing anything. But that waiting is a waiting which is confronting the evil realities of today and prepare at the same time the way for the expectation and anticipation of the coming kingdom of God. That waiting, that hope which is shining from the cross is confronting the walls of separation which is dividing humanity. That waiting is opening hands to share with others. We haven't got anything. That's not a passive waiting at all. And that's why it is so dangerous to be an instrument of that waiting. I hope you still do remember that waiting that I'm talking of, that's a hope. I'm speaking now in my language. The members of that movement who are taking that waiting to the world are being regarded by the leaders of this world as subversive, as Marxists, as terrorists, as people who are misusing religion in order to further their political aims. And they are being brought in front of judges and magistrates. And their message, which does not only exist in words, but in their whole life, as we have heard yesterday from Walter, that the prophet is not only proclaiming the message, but he's involved in that, he's part of that message. They are being condemned as heretic. And they are being judged. But the Lord, the owner of this message of hope, the source of this message of hope, will crown them with strength, with new strength and glory. And the case which they are bringing out to this world will be one day recognized by even those who opposed it, as the case of the Son of God. The hope which is shining like a morning twilight from the cross, confronts evil and prepares the way for the future. It identifies and unmasks evil. It identify and unmask evil. And that's why it is so dangerous. And that's why we become also so tired sometimes. That's why I'm so happy to be here for these few days in Holden Village to be strengthened. The Lord knows what He is doing. There is a hymn I'm sure you have got also in your green book. Translated, of course, from German. Die Sache ist dein, the work belong to you. I don't know how you would say it say in English. The work belongs to him. And I was thinking these days when I was during my presence here, well, maybe there are certain big things waiting at home, more dark days, and that's why he invited me here through Walter Pilgrim to Holden Village to strengthen me and to let me return back home strengthened. When we are tired, he leads us to quiet pools of his word. I'm sure you are recognizing Psalm 23. He leads us to quiet pools of his word and to fellowship and love of believers. He leads us to fellowship and the love of the believers. He gives us new strength with his words. And when we are going through deepest darkness, his promises remain the same until this day. When he said to his disciples, "And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age." I am with you always, and particularly those dark days until the close of the age. The mission of the church doesn't end with, and will not end, especially in our situation, with the attainment of independence for Namibia or the scrapping of apartheid. That's not where the mission of the church will end. During the struggle in Angola against the Portuguese, the freedom movement used a slogan which we as Christians can use also: a luta continua, that's Portuguese now, a victoria certa. The struggle continues, for the victory is ours. Thus, our struggle doesn't end with the attainment of political settlement. It can't be confined by that at all, but it continues until he is coming. And when he comes and say, "Well, you haven't done your job, well, you continue," we continue then. We are a missionary movement. I have to watch my time. We are a missionary movement. We are a living body of the living Lord. Sometimes when you look around, you are surprised to see corpses who are claiming to be members of the living Lord. Well, I'm not referring to you here in the States, but to our situation also in Namibia, that you would find people who would say, we are a congregation of the Lord, which means literally we are members, we are hands, feet, eyes of the Lord. And the Lord is living and working in his world. He holds the whole world in his hands. And those who claim to be that seems to be corpses. You are a visible light for the world. And here I would really like to invite Dr. Bratton to Namibia, because it's where we have got the most problems. And I wish I could invite you. Well, I invite you. Why should I wish? Because you would hear there, the church is invisible and we does not need to come together visibly. It's not so important. We are, after all, already one body in Jesus Christ, and we are invisible. And it doesn't matter whether we are praying apart from each other, whites there and blacks there. We are an invisible church, and we are together in spirit. That's what you would hear. That's why I would like to invite you there to bring the message you brought this morning. Because when there is trouble, then people start to devise their own thinking of what the church should be so that it can suit their situation. We are the nation of the new Exodus. On the way, not as enemies, on the way, we are on the way. We say we are waiting. And that waiting is a movement on the way to meet, to make peace with the coming Lord. To meet with the coming Lord. And how dare we go to meet, and that's what the church is, to meet the coming Lord as enemies. We are going there to meet the coming Lord, the fulfillment of his kingdom, hand in hand, as sisters and brothers. We can't go there apart to meet the coming Lord. We can't go to make peace with him while we are not making peace with one another. We make peace with one another and go to make peace together with him. That's how we are hoping for his kingdom, waiting for his kingdom. I've been asked the question during these days, and I've been trying to say, well, the Good Samaritan didn't ask questions. Please don't ask me questions. And I realize that's really important, that from our side, it's difficult out of this situation, which I don't know, to say, well, the best things you can do is this and this and this. But from our view of point, I would try and give you one or two things, what you perhaps can do in our situation, or for our situation of struggling against injustice and oppression. That you continue and strengthen support for the churches in their confession against apartheid in South Africa. That you continue, and I say continue because I know that many of you have been doing that for many years, continue and strengthen support for the churches in Namibia, in their confession against apartheid. And I will advise you to have close contact with the Lutheran World Ministries in New York, with ETME, because we send information when things are happening, we send information to them there so that they can distribute it further, as you have got the package here. For example, my church has got a synod in December from the 10th to the 13th. And it will be encouragement if we receive telegrams from you strengthening us in our situation, just saying, we remember you during these days. Because when the synod comes, the congregation all over will wait word. What is the church now saying? What is our leadership is saying? And that you strengthen them and say, we are together with you in your confession against evil in your country. We pray for you. We support you. May God bless your synod. That's from the 10th to the 13th of December this year. Secondly, we have got a situation of where this year more than 50 people was released from Robben Island and also from concentration camps in Namibia itself. And they couldn't return. Most of them are from the northern part of Namibia where the war is being fought. And they couldn't return because of the fact that it is dangerous for them to return there. They might be killed by the army, or their houses has been destroyed. They haven't got anything left at all. And they remain then in the capital, and the Council of Churches is taking care of them. There's, they would need clothes. They would need ways and means to support themselves in that situation. They can't get work because when you go looking for work, you would be asked, where are you from? And if you say, well, I've been released from Robben Island, you will be told, well, I'm sorry, I can't employ you. They are being regarded as former terrorists, and they say you won't be employed at all. There's a Council of Churches is involved in a program of supporting these people, not only giving them something to eat, but also to help them in such a way that they help themselves. That and they would need support, particularly material support. The churches in Namibia also are preparing for the day which we don't know, but which we expect, which we are hoping for, which we are waiting, and that's the day of the return of the exiles. I'm reminded of one of the Psalms. When the exiles returned, the mountains were so full of joy. And when we are thinking of that day, we believe that the Namibian mountains and the deserts will dance together with us. That the churches are also preparing for that day because you have got thousands and thousands of people returning from outside, and most of them hasn't got any contact with their families. Their families has been killed, or their homes has been destroyed. They have to be given temporal housing, maybe tents, medical treatment. They might return during the winter time. They would need blankets and so on. And that's with the help of the Lutheran World Federation. The Council of Churches has been preparing. 2 months ago, about 30 people from the Council of Churches visited Zimbabwe to learn from the sisters and brothers there how they did when the exiles returned to their country. And they learn a lot from them. Thus, you might one day or in the coming months hear from the Lutheran World Federation through the Lutheran World Ministries that it seems that the days now are coming close for that day, and that you are called to give blankets or whatever, and that you be prepared for that, that you mustn't be surprised and be prepared for that day. Well, I hope the one thing I can do is that I would say, and it will be so nice if all of you here can then be with us on that day physically, so that we can dance together with the Namibian mountains. And rejoice and thank the Lord together. But you might receive such a call. Please, the refugees are returning. The day of independence is coming, because it can happen quick. It happened also with Zimbabwe, and the churches were not prepared at all. And thus, if that day happened, that you mustn't be surprised, and when you receive such a call, and be prepared to assist wherever you can in any way. We might need doctors, not might, but we will, nurses, engineers, and whatever to assist during those days. And you might receive such a call to go and assist. That's what you maybe can be prepared of. Thirdly, my church is embarking on a program of, well, too late, but I'm happy that they at least decided now to do that, to embark on a program of intensive continuing education, where pastors, evangelists, elders, and in our situation, we have got people who are even leading congregation, even if they are not ordained. Well, I'm smiling because I don't know what Dr. Braden is thinking now. preaching, they are preaching, leading congregation, and well, given special permission also to administer the sacraments, but they need a special permission, of course, from the church board there. But they are doing all the work. Sunday school teachers, and that's yes, congregation members who see the need and come out and do something without any resource and equipment and whatever. And thus the church is embarking on that program beginning next January with assistance of the South African Council of Churches. And we will need lectures. We will need to travel and assist those who are involved in that program. That's the theological education by extension, which started already in South Africa itself in 1975 and initiated by Ross Kinsler, who maybe some of you know. And I personally have got also that responsibility of with some other pastors of launching that program. There we will need to start at least to have the lectures. And also for travel, we'll need the financial support, at least for starting. Well, our congregations are collecting and doing something. There's a special Sunday in a month where they are collecting for continuing education, which is very important, especially for those people who are living in rural areas on farms, and where a church elder has to conduct church services every Sunday morning, that they received at least formal education in theology, and helping them also in counseling and many other things which is required for him. There's at least for the start, and for having the books and lectures, and for travels, we will need around 5,000 rand. I don't know how many. And I hope that the congregations will really bring up something. There is much enthusiasm. They see also the problem, and they see the need of preparing all the people, or equipping all the people of God, the priesthood of all believers. I'm so happy that that the church in Namibia, the Lutheran church in Namibia, the Roman Catholic Church has started with that already 2 years ago. Because they felt, well, does that mean that we should now close our theological seminaries? Isn't it too cheap? And so on. And so that's what they... But they realized that it is so important to equip the believers for the service so that the work mustn't be left only in the hands of the pastors. Because it happened that in some congregations, pastors has been detained and then the people themselves has to take care of themselves. And thus, we would need the assistance. I will appreciate if you could assist also in that program. The other thing which I would also like to mention, we have got people also here from the United States doing voluntary service in Namibia, especially in our church. We have got David Preisinger, who is teaching in our theological seminary, Paulinum. And I think that kind of people need assistance. Maybe materially, or just a postcard saying, we are praying for you in your work which you are doing there. Be strengthened. Because it's such a difficult situation. And maybe there will be times where those people will think, well, I'm now so tired, the burden is so heavy, where they don't know how to react to problems and situations. And if they could receive letters from you and maybe some kind of assistance, you can say, well, what can we do? Would you advise us how to help you in your situation, in your work, which you are doing? How can we assist you? I'm sure they will be happy with that. We have got a young man who is also doing voluntary service in our bookkeeping department, in our financial department in the church office, Kent Johnson. I'm sure if he receives such support, strengthening words of encouraging, he will be very much happy also to do his work. He volunteered for 2 years in our church office, not only doing bookkeeping in the office, but also teaching bookkeeping in Namibia. But as he himself is saying, learning from that situation so that he can take something back to the United States. There is another young man who is planning to, if he gets his visa, to go to Namibia beginning of next year to teach at our church high school, the Martin Luther High School. See, I'm just mentioning it in order you are doubting whether we are good Lutherans or not this week. the Martin Luther High School, that's Gary Nelson. I met him last Sunday in Tacoma. And he's planning to go there. It seems he had problems with his... he don't know who is going to support him. Also financially, he will need a ticket to travel there. He will need some assistance. Well, he gets housing free and everything, but he would need some assistance. And if you could assist him, contact him. I'm sure that Dr. Pilgrim know him, and maybe you can ask more information about him and his address and so, and ask him how to assist him and what his needs is and so on. We'll appreciate it very much. I think that's the list is getting too long. I think that's all. Well, the other thing which I nearly forgot is that you keep contact with your government and give presentation to your government urging your government that the implementation of Resolution 435 is a matter of life and death. That the delaying of the implementation of that resolution is costing Namibian lives. People are dying every day. And I'm sure that it can be stopped.
urging your government not to link the implementation of that resolution with a Cuban issue, with a Cuban presence in Angola. I'm sure that's a separate issue which can be treated separately. But to delay the independence of the country for the sake of an issue which concerns another country, I think it's not fair. And here it's not only a political question, but it's a question of saving lives. People are dying. And if all of you could write to your government and ask them, please, to leave that link and to see to that their own resolution, it's not somebody else's resolution, resolution 435, it was approved. It came, in fact, out of the initiative of the United States and other Western countries, Canada, France, England, Britain, Germany, and what? Yes, that's the five. Yes, if you could urge your government, it is really a matter of human lives which are being lost unnecessarily. May God be with you. Until we make peace again. And let us wait that we will see one another again. And for those who are going today, maybe for all of you, I would like, on behalf of my church, express my thankfulness for the invitation you extend to me. I would, in a very with love, like to express my thanks to Walt for the invitation he extended to me, despite of the uncertainty whether I will come. I enjoyed my stay here. I feel so encouraged by your caring, your love, your solidarity with us. Some of you didn't say anything, but shook my hands, some with tears in the eyes. I feel so encouraged by that. I will take it back to Namibia saying there are many, many Christians caring for us in the United States. What you are doing and have been doing during these days, expressing your love and solidarity, is encouraging not only for me, but for all the Namibians. And it is also opening the eyes of many Namibians who think that Namibia is the administration which is delaying, who think that America, the United States of America, is the administration which is delaying our freedom. That will be my message back at home to say, well, you have got the administration which is delaying our freedom, but you have got many, many, many friends, brothers, sisters, who are supporting you. And therefore, I would, deep out of my heart, thank you very, very much. Go therefore, and take this waiting, this hope, to all nations, to your congregations. Do not be afraid of what will happen, even with me. Do not be afraid. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be with us always to the close of the age. Thank you very much.
Zephaniah, you will be remembered
in our prayers and in other ways.
And we ask you to bring to your people our greetings in Christ, especially as brothers and sisters in the Lutheran family, and to bring to them our promise of solidarity with them in their struggle for freedom and reconciliation. God be with you.